speaking about redemption, speaking about freedom. And we're going to continue with that this morning. And as I said, just for those that came in, we're continuing where we left off last Sunday, just looking at the one aspect of redemption where we see how Jesus came into the sin market, the marketplace, and with his life, he paid the price for our freedom from being slaves to sin. And as we go through this, there's the three aspects to redemption we're looking at, but you cannot separate them. So when we see, as we're looking at how Jesus came into the world, into the slave market, we also see how Jesus paid the price and has taken us out. But also the third aspect that we'll look at, where Jesus, through the power that he's done, broken the power of sin and the grace that reigns, we find we can now walk in the freedom and continue to live a life being free from the power of sin. So all of those three aspects is all in that word redemption. Okay, you cannot separate it. So it's not going to parts there. It's all happening at once in our lives. So this morning, just to recap then, we looked at a word there, what we in the Greek is called the agorezo, and that is where you go into the slave market to buy something. But I didn't give you too many scriptures last week, and I'll share a little bit more scriptures this morning. But just to go back, redemption is when something that belongs to one and is temporarily in possession of somebody else because of debt. So now you've got to pay them back, so they're holding your property or you as a slave until that's paid back. And then once that price has been legally met, you are free again or you get your property. Okay, so that's redemption. And in the biblical sense, we see over there that only a relative, a bloodline relative, is able to come and pay the price. And there's a lot there behind that, but only a relative. And that's where we get the concept of Christ being the kinsman redeemer. That's where kinsman redeemer comes from the Old Testament. And so that is why with Jesus, he had to become a man. God had to become a man, take on flesh to be humanity. Our brothers, our sisters, he's our big brother, so that through him, he could now pay the price, the ransom, because only a relative, only a kinsman redeemer can pay the price, and he is our kinsman redeemer. And the scripture we looked at there was the one in Hebrews. I want to just read it, chapter 2, verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. And that's so important to understand as we go on, where in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the good news, to set the captives free. We've been anointed by the Holy Spirit to take what Christ has done and make it a reality, not only in our own lives, but in the people's lives that we are ministering to or have contact with as we share the gospel. That he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. So when was Satan destroyed? See, already our starting point, that which has already been done. Yes, there's the outworking of that. We see at the end of the day where finally Satan is thrown into the fiery lake, bound and locked up with all his demonic angels with him. But we carry on and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abram's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement. See, that's where we get where we are now. For the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And so as we've been looking at the communion, when we're taking the bread, one of the great things about that is now we're beginning to realize this is your flesh, Jesus, your body. You became man, kingsman, redeemer. And so you're proclaiming, you're getting into agreement with who Christ is, the reality of God becoming flesh in John chapter 1. The reality that he came to save his own people from their sins. Okay? It's that reality. So that's important to get established in understanding the humanity of Jesus Christ and what his body has done for us, the flesh, the body of Jesus Christ. And then there's the blood that we've been looking at now. And then we also just looked at the reality, and this is crucial, that whenever we speak about redemption, ownership is always involved. Because it's legally yours. Because of debt, someone else is holding it, but it's legally yours. You're paying the legal price to get it back. So when we're having a look at redemption, God created mankind. All things have been created by Jesus, through him, and for Jesus Christ. He is the one who created us. He came and paid the price so that we once again, when we belonged to sin, we belonged to that slave master, that power of sin that told us how to live, and we were just saying yes to that slave master of sin all the time, and we lived to satisfy that slave master our lives, and we thought we were free. But until you taste freedom in Christ, you don't know what freedom is. That's part of the deception. We think we're free because Satan has blinded the minds of the unbeliever, and that's freedom that they believe. Remember, he's a father of lies. And so people take in the media, the advertising, the everything about the world or what they describe as freedom, and mankind thinks that's freedom, I've arrived. Okay. But all they're doing is just serving sin master and saying yes and working like anything and going into debt and doing whatever they can to serve sin master and getting into all kinds of, just troubles in life and so forth, and not pleasant when you serve sin master. And so we saw there that's crucial, is that because of Christ's blood, the reality now that we're no longer owned by sin, we're no longer a slave to sin, now we own back. We're back as children of God. And that's crucial because that's starting to deal with our identity, starting to speak about who we are as people that's been redeemed by the blood of Christ. We belong to God. We are his children. Now that's big. And that's what I want to start to touch into today, because we want to speak about the power of the blood of Christ that sets our soul free, because that's who we are, the identity, and to begin to experience the incredible creativeness of God concerning you and I as people. And not being molded by the pattern of this world and living that identity, because that's how it works, unless we renew our mind and be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Okay, so that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. So just to go a few scriptures, just to put context into this, remember we touched this 1 Corinthians chapter 6 a few times, and verse 20. So when you read in the Bible these verses, agorizo is used. Okay, Christ came into the marketplace to pay the price. So God so loved the world that he sent his son Jesus. Okay, so it's that aspect of Christ coming into our world. There in chapter 6 and verse 20. And he's speaking about just the desires of the flesh, the power of the sin that operates within all of mankind. And he's speaking, do you not know, or let's go, flee from the sexual immorality or other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, from whom you have received from God? Okay? It's a gift from God. We have received the Holy Spirit. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. That's the same word now. We were bought with a price. His sinless life was the price for us as sinners. Okay, so sinless Christ took the place of sinful mankind, paid the price so that we can be set free from the consequences of sin. So you are bought at a price, therefore honor God with your body. Now, some time back, we spent a lot of time in Romans, and just to see the freedom now as we go into the application just now. But now, Paul's writing in Romans, and he's speaking about having died with Christ and being raised with him, and that we will look at when we look at him taking us out of sin. But in verse 15, Romans 6 verse 15, what then shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, that's who we were, okay? While we were still in that slave market, you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. And so this is the reality now that we find when we begin to appropriate the blood of Christ and begin to realize that even as you take communion or in your faith journey, Lord, we're understanding a little bit about your body. You became a man to be our kinsman redeemer. But your blood paid the price. Your blood, without the shedding of blood, there's no atonement. There's no forgiveness of sins. Okay, there's no removal of sins. So your blood did something. And in this total package of your salvation, of your death and resurrection, you paid that price. And now I am no longer a slave to that sin master. I have a new identity. See, a child of God. That's who I am. So all of a sudden I start to get into agreement. So when you have communion, there's three aspects to it over there. It's the participation, there's also the remembrance, but there's also you proclaim his death until he comes. You proclaim. And this is what is so important for the proclamation, to get into agreement of the power of the blood of Jesus, because that's when it starts to become, you start to experience the fruit of that, the working of that within you, because now there's a faith element and you believe. This is what you've done. You're renewing your mind. We're renewing our mind to truth, and now our identity starts to become a reality in Christ Jesus, who we really are in Christ Jesus. And this is, you'll find this is going to be one of the most helpful tools, helpful truths that you and I have when we are dealing with people. Because here you've got something to help folk coming out of that guilt, coming out of being a slave to the past, coming out of being a slave to other people's opinions of who you are and all that there, and finding in Christ the power of the blood that sets your soul free. And you'll begin to help to minister. Remember, we have the message and the ministry of reconciliation. All of this whole thing that we're looking at atonement is all about reconciliation. And so redemption, now as we're speaking about that, is now to help people to be able to come free and to live who they are. When I woke up this morning, it wasn't long, and there was a deep, 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 deep sense of our Lord Jesus here with us and all of us over here being set free and becoming this incredible life-giving army of God, touching people's lives, being involved. And so many may sit here and say, but I can't do that, or I'm not this, I'm not that. No, you have a new identity, your identity in Christ Jesus. Okay, no longer slaves to sin. And we all got a part in the army of God. I heard something that, just a statement that I thought was a pretty profound statement, listening to a group of prophets around a table. And the one guy said something profound, and he said, there's no such thing as personal prophecy. Because everybody wants personal prophecy. What's God's will? What's God's will? God has one plan. Only one plan. And we all fit into that one plan. You see, it's not personal in that we all in this together. There's one plan. And so the word of God, the prophetic callings and that there is one plan. And that brings us together as one army of God. And that is why all of us, if we have a big part to play in our uniqueness and our abilities and the way God has created us to touch the lives of so many people so that they can become free of sin and the consequence will have eternal life. Okay, that's good news. And you and I are participating with something pretty awesome that has eternal value. That's the difference. We can work our butts off and come to the end and there's just dust to dust, you know, just rust falls away. Or we can be involved with something that has eternal value. People's lives being saved and born again, have all eternity. There's life. And that's what we are doing. Okay, so that was that one. The other in also in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, again, this is the same word again, agorezzo. And here in 1 Corinthians 7 verse 23, this is in the context of, again, identity, because he's speaking about people that are slaves in the natural in that time. For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freedman. Similarly, he who was a free man when he was called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. This is the same word now. Christ coming into the slave sin market, paying the price. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Okay, and I think that's profound. No matter where we are, we can live free and not being a slave to man, because inside is free. You're free from the power of sin. Okay, and that's who we are. That's why we light as children of God. Another one is 2 Peter. I'll quickly just read that one as well. In 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1, here is in the context of false prophets that are denying the fact that we've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false prophets among you now. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. And that's why you will find there that there will be teachings that will deny the redeeming power of the blood of Christ, that we've been purchased, we belong to God. The teaching is we belong to ourselves, we are our own man, we are our own woman, you know. That's, and a lot of the teaching will be to feed that all the time. And that's why you must listen to preaching, because a lot of preaching is, will be to make you feel so good, and that's good, but it's all about what I can do. And it's not the reality of what Christ has already done. And your life is in Him. And now with Him, you can do even greater things with Him and get free of yourself, because yourself is just so limited. You know, don't live boring kind of stuff. Okay. Then Revelations 5, also one that we've been looking at. Again, the same word here is used. Agorizo, Christ coming into this world, into this sin market, and paying the price. And this is the context of worship, of prayer, of the Lamb of God, again, His sacrifice. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God. Verse 9. From every tribe, language, people and nation, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. There's a few more, but most of the other times now where you see the same word is used, it's referring to where people go into the market to buy groceries, bread. So when they left Jesus there and the disciples went into town to go and buy food, okay? And that's the same, they're going back into the marketplace. But all the time, ownership, okay? Paying the price because we belong to God, we're back to God, okay? Ownership is crucial. Because now when we're praying for our nation, when we realize, as we grow in the reality that Christ has paid the price, this nation belongs to? Back to God, because Christ has already paid the price. So in our prayers, we're not praying prayers that are out there, whatever. We're praying prayers based on the truth, on the authority of the cross, of Christ's death and resurrection, what he has already done. And that's where your declaration, your decrees over this nation is a decree based on the blood of Christ that's redeemed this land, that's redeemed this nation, and you now begin to warfare on the authority of the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay. You'll see, because that's the angelic realm, they get involved when the blood of Jesus and faith has been spoken about. And then you have this mighty army of God involved in bringing about the purpose of God for our nation. And it's the same for marriages, it's for families, no matter what. When you begin to understand, but Jesus, you've paid the price for everybody working in this workplace, for everybody at the school. You've already paid the price. They don't know it yet. See, that's why we need to proclaim, we need to share the gospel so that they can hear beautiful feet who share the gospel, that they can hear the gospel and be saved. But in the meantime, as we're waiting and looking for those opportunities, we begin to believe, but Lord, you paid the price. They don't know that they belong to you. They're still captive by sin. Okay, and so you can be involved in setting the captives free. Okay, the ministry of reconciliation, with the message of reconciliation. And so there's others here, as I spoke about over there. But now, I want to go into the application side this morning. And here in Zechariah, chapter 12. This is the word of the Lord concerning Israel. The Lord who stretches out the heavens. So again, we're coming back to God as the creator who stretches out the heavens. But look what it says over here. And who forms the spirit of man within him. Who forms the spirit of man within him. For me, this is huge. It's the same word when God created man and he formed man out of dust. It's the same word where, also in Genesis 2, I think it's verse 8, where God formed the animals. And here we see our Creator God, within every man, it is He who forms our spirit. So Jesus speaks to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and He says to Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, unless a man is born by the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. See, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. So here we see again the power of redemption, where our spirit has been held captive by sin. That life of God is no longer in our spirit man as an unsaved person. That's why we call it being spiritually dead. So now when I start to realize, but God, you formed my spirit within me. And if I look at creation and I see how you formed creation, and I've got to say, wow, God, this spirit that you formed in me is far more than what I imagine. It's far more than what I imagine. If I just look at your creativity in creation, even though creation is groaning in this fallen world and it's not like it was, I can begin to just look at this and I say, but God, our spirit man, it must be awesome. It must, the capacity and the capability of our spirit man being born of the Spirit must be so big. Why am I so living sort of shallow deep? And now when we begin to realize, but Lord, your blood has paid price. You've redeemed. My spirit now belongs to you because I've been born again. And all of a sudden, when you begin to appropriate the washing and the powerful blood of Christ that has redeemed your spirit, is alive now, and you begin to participate in that truth of the redeeming blood of Jesus, you will be amazed at your spiritual relationship with God. You will be amazed at the growth. You will be amazed at the revelation that the Holy Spirit will give to you. You will be amazed at the relationship that you have, spirit to spirit. God is spirit. Because now you are beginning to realize, but your blood, Lord, has freed my spirit from being enslaved to sin. It's free. It's paid the price. You paid the price. My spirit man is free. And that's when you start to find your level of walking with God just grows and grows and grows. You'll be able to, you'll hear, you'll be able to discern, particularly revelational truth. You'll get far more understanding of the Word of God. Because your spirit, by faith, you've agreed, you've come into agreement. You're proclaiming the Lord's death. His blood redeemed my spirit from being slaves to sin. Guys, this takes believers from being worldly minded, and suddenly they start to enter into the very purpose of God, understanding the heartbeat of God, understanding this is what God's will is, and connecting to the God, to God's ways. That's why the man, the woman with the Spirit has his desires according to the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8. Do you know that your spirit man has been purchased by the blood of Jesus? It no longer belongs to the devil. No longer belongs to the sin master. It's free. Get into agreement. It's freedom. Where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. See, there's freedom. People are battling to know how real God is. Help them to begin. Realize the blood of Christ has redeemed your spirit. Now you can have a relationship. Just the renewing, getting into agreement, and you will find over there. And sometimes you've got to speak to your spirit man. You've got to say, spirit man, you're no longer a slave to that old sin master. You are free from sin. You are in direct relationship with God Almighty. You've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. Come on, wake up a bit now. Be real with how you are. Okay, the powerful blood of Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. In Psalm 33, we read over there another profound truth. In Psalm chapter 33, here we read again God's plans for the nations and all that and what he's busy doing. But he goes on and he shares something profound in verse 15. From his dwelling place, this is God speaking, from the heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all. Now we're looking at the soul, who we are, our personality. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. Now we're looking at your soul dimension that used to belong to sin, that was totally controlled by sin. The you inside your body was, yes, sin. I obey you, sin. Let's go marching to your orders and live life like that, totally free. But there's the appropriation. There is a time of, like this morning, where we get to the place and we say, but Lord, your blood purchased my soul, who I am as a person. and I no longer belong to sin. I'm free. And this is very often you've got to speak to your soul man, and you've got to say to your soul man, you're no longer a slave to that old way of life. You're no longer a slave to sin. No. Bought back a bit. You've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. You belong to Him. The power of sin is broken, and you've got to sometimes speak to you. Sometimes it's good to look in the mirror in the morning and speak to yourself some truths and say, Spirit man, you are free. You know God's ways. You can speak. You can have, you've got the desires of God. Soul man, you're no longer a slave. You've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. You've been freed. Now we're going to live like a free man. Getting into agreement of truth. Proclaiming the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Proclaiming the good news to yourself inside and living it out. Very powerful. You'll find tremendous growth taking place when we do that. Obviously, with your soul dimension, remember, as we saw there in Romans, that as we are no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness, that leads us to holiness. So as we continually, I'm no longer a slave, I'm a slave to righteousness, and I offer my body as a living sacrifice for Jesus, the fruit of that is that what has already been done in setting our soul totally free, now we are able to slowly but surely begin to experience that as we continue to walk, just yield it to the Holy Spirit. And that's how it becomes more. But the point I want to bring out here is that the you inside your body, who we are, you've got to admit, if when you look at creation, if when you look at God, you've got to look and you've got to say, but is that all I am that I know that I am? Is that all that's there about me? Is this my life? Am I going to die living such a boring life? Am I going to die living this kind of life? Or are we going to begin to appropriate and realize, but God, you formed me as a person, and your imagination and who you are and your creativity and what you formed in this body must be much bigger than what I know right now. Thank you for the blood that has set me free from what I thought I was, and I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. See, now we're beginning to understand what it means to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. So in Colossians chapter 3 even, where we in verse 1 onwards there, what happens? He is our life. And I don't know about you, but I don't think Christ's life is boring. I don't think Christ's life is very limited and bound by this body. You see? And I think God is now beginning to show us that there's far more to who we are as a redeemed people of God than what we believe we are. Now unto Him who is able to do immeasurably more than what we ask or imagine, and that is rooted in the revelation of knowing the love of Christ, knowing the reality of His love in our soul dimension, freeing us from being conformed to the pattern of this world, tradition, molded by this world. Identity. That's why in Hebrews, Romans 8, I'll come over there, there's many more. Those who are listening, Isaiah 29 verse 15 to 16 again, it's about God who formed us. And that's the context of the potter, because that word formed is like a potter making, you know, the vessel. And imagine now God there, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, let's form Greg's soul. Imagine the fun and the creativity and the bigness and the goodness, the vastness of the Almighty God forming Greg's soul. Sin comes. and just chains it all up. Christ comes, sets the chains free, and Greg comes out. Whoa, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I've been raised with him. I'm seated with him. He starts to renew his mind and not be transformed by the old nature and the culture and tradition and mindsets of people and the education system and the philosophies of mankind. No longer formed by that rubbish. Now he's being transformed by the renewing of his mind. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you the one that fashioned me as a potter fashions a vessel. I'm your vessel. Here I am. Let's go for this exciting adventure. See, we'll start getting to purpose next Sunday because the same word is used. All the days formed by God has been written in the book, The Power of Redemption, to loose us from living a boring life and getting into that which God formed and fashioned for our lives. See, guys, we are a mighty army of God. We are the light. We are the children of God. Far more than what you just see over here. Far more than the limitations that we look and we see and experience. Far more. God, who created all this, and even now scientists and all that are baffled by this incredible creation, formed you in that body. But he also formed the body. Not there yet. But he formed you and I in a most incredible way. So when we begin, and that's why communion, I'm focusing on communion because it helps us to be centered. When we now, but Jesus, your blood has freed me from being molded by this world. And now that which, Father, you and Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit, when you formed me before the fall, before sin, that's, I say yes to that. That's who I am really. That's my identity. The power of the blood of Christ that purifies, that cleanses, that releases, that sets us free from all this stuff that has chained who we really are as people of God. And as we receive that this morning by faith, you will find, we all find as we continue appropriating this all the time, you will look back to today. That's who I was. And in about 6 months down, you will look back and you say, wow, I thought I had arrived. But now, wow, God, there's so much more. Thank you. Let's go for more. More and more and more. Because the Creator God formed you. There's no limits there, boy. There's a final redemption. Redemption is a, now for us, it happened in the death of Jesus. Now, as we apply it in our lives, and there's a future redemption where all of this, now we have the Spirit of God as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come until the final redemption, where all of this that we experience now comes to its total fullness. Can you imagine us there now? Can you imagine what heaven or what it's like? Not a boring place. Who we are as God's original intent, living it out. Pretty awesome. Okay, so in Jeremiah, we know Jeremiah 1:5. We've looked at that before. Again, the same word is used. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Just emphasizing the fact that here we have, before he's even born, God formed you and I before we were born in God's incredible way of doing things. Okay, in Psalm 139:13-14 is the same truth over there about God forming man and so forth. Just the last scripture I want to just share here, and I've used it a few times because it's in that Romans 12. Because a very similar word is used in the New Testament. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Why? Because it's been redeemed. It belongs to Him, holy and pleasing to God. Okay, this is your spiritual act of worship. Now, verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, perfect, and pleasing will. And that's what we've just been speaking about now. Gang, if we keep on thinking as we've been thinking, we stay molded by the world system. Satan controls the world. He uses whatever he uses to keep mankind in slavery. If we keep on thinking like the world thinks, we will remain chained in a sense. But when we begin to take the blood of Christ and begin to renew our mind and appropriating, Lord, your blood has washed my soul. I'm a new creation in you. You are my life. And we begin to renew our mind. Then, notice what takes place. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now unto Him who is able to do immeasurably more than what we ask or imagine, that which is good. People are afraid to surrender because they think God's way is bad. Okay, it's the deception. Because our minds have been molded by the world, and Satan controls the world, and they say, no, that's good. God is not fun. God is bad. Okay? No longer us. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. So, as we have communion this morning, I want to pray a prayer that you may want to just pray it in your heart or your, you know, I want to just lead a bit of time of prayer, and then when we have communion, you can just go deeper the way you need to go deeper with God. But we want to appropriate the blood of Jesus for our spirit man. Our spirit is free. It's been born again. Okay, there's a union now with God and God's spirit and our spirit. There's a oneness over there. And now we can have relationship. But we want to make that declaration. We want to get into that agreement. And then with our soul dimension, our hearts, who we are as a person, our personalities, who we really are as people. That which God formed before the fall, we want that. That's original intent. See, Christ paid the price for ownership. Okay. So we want to go back to our original intent. Who we really were meant to be as God's creation, the power of the blood of Jesus. Okay, so that's what we want to do. Okay. Any questions before we pray on this? Or got an understanding? As I say, this will help when you're discipling people. This is going to be a great benefit for people to come free and to begin to experience abundant life. Okay, and not boring Christian life. Christians are living a boring life because they've never really understood redemption. They don't know what it's all about. That's why we have a privilege to share this. Okay, Father, once again, we want to come and we step into I don't know what it is, but maybe it's like a birthing room where you, your Son, Holy Spirit, discussing each and every one of us. And by faith this morning, we come and we want to say, Father, you formed my spirit. And you know how my spirit must function. You know what my spirit is all about. You formed it. You fashioned it in your incredible creative ways. I'm not a copycat. I'm not a copy and paste like everybody else may be. I'm unique. My spirit man is unique in a way that relates to you that is so incredible. but it was taken captive by sin. Today, Lord Jesus, thank you that you came into my sin market, my body. You came into my life. You came into this world. And you paid the price so that now my spirit does not belong to sin anymore. My spirit belongs to you, Father God. It comes alive. So I thank you for your blood, Jesus. I thank you how it's washed my spirit, freed my spirit from the consequences of sin. It's alive. I want to thank you, Father, that now my spirit man is so one with you. Holy Spirit and my spirit can be together because of the blood of Christ that has cleansed, purified. Now I want to thank you for a relationship that is one with you. Thank you. Thank you that your blood has washed every aspect of the consequences of sin. It's washed my spirit totally clean and it's totally free. I thank you for the power of your blood that has cleansed my very conscience. Thank you for that. And then, Lord, as we see the joy in heaven, then we come and we want to thank you, Jesus, for the power of your blood. You may be able to experience how even now you've just moved so much closer to the Father. The acceptance like you've never experienced before. I release that reality of acceptance now in Jesus' name. And then, Father, we speak about our soul, our heart, who we are, our personality. And what a joy when we just spend a moment just watching you, Father, watching you, Jesus and Holy Spirit, forming us, shaping us into this incredible human being. And as you spoken, there came the fall and how who we really were was taken captive. And over the years, we've been programmed, molded, squeezed by a world that Satan controlled. And we believed that's who we are, that was our identity. But today, we receive the power of your blood, Jesus. And thank you as it looses our soul dimension, frees our soul from sin, from the power of sin, from the consequences of sin, and from the false identities that we have taken upon ourselves. We are loosed from that. Thank you. I sense there's quite a battle and a warfare area right now to be able to receive the area of the soul. But Jesus, we speak your name because you are the Redeemer. And I declare over every soul here, your blood has redeemed. And Satan, we have overcome you by the blood of the Lamb of God. And I declare and I decree right now, by the blood of Jesus, our soul, you are loosed from sin. You are loosed from the pain of sin. You are free from the consequences of sin. You are free in Jesus' name. Come out. Out of slavery, now begin to walk with Jesus out of slavery into the incredible life that He has fashioned for you and I. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you enable each and every one here now. Thank you, Lord. Now you might want to just pray with me as well in your heart. Jesus, because you have redeemed me, I say to my soul, you are free. Soul, you are free from the power of sin. I am no longer a slave to sin. I'm a slave to righteousness in the name of Jesus. And I now receive, Holy Spirit, you dwelling in my life, coming dwelling in my heart, coming dwelling within this body. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for you being the guarantee, the deposit, guaranteeing what is still to come ahead of me. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, this body now belongs to you. Thank you, Lord. And so, Jesus, as we have communion, we want to thank you that we can just go deeper now and just appropriate it more and more. And I'm asking now for this to be so established within us. In Jesus' name. I pray first of all for the mind. And by the blood of Christ, I loose our minds. That our minds are no longer being molded by this world. By the power of the blood of Christ, put your mind and see your mind crucified with Jesus. It's dead. Might frighten you, but having a renewed mind is better than the mind you have. Just let it go and just acknowledge Jesus. Thank you. My mind was crucified as part of who I am. And I've been raised with you now, and now begin to have the mind of Christ. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.